Now stay as deep as you can. I'm going to say some words about the relationship between the I am and your real nature, which is before consciousness, before awareness, before knowledge, before anything, your true nature. The discovery of which is complete silence, peace, and immortality. Because consciousness always passes. Everything passes in consciousness. Consciousness comes and goes. A baby is born, you, grows up, has kids, gets old, and dies. But who and what you are is entirely beyond this. Has nothing to do with the world. The world is a tame and calm thing. When seen from the absolute, when seen from beyond consciousness, nothing to be taken seriously. This question comes up over and over again. What's the relationship between the I am and the absolute? Why do I fool around with the I am at all? Why don't I just go into the absolute? Well, if you can, go for it. If you know the way in. The way in is just to look into yourself constantly. But it can be a slow and dry way. And can take a long time. But filling the I am with vitality, generating and tamping up energy and love, results in states of bliss, complete love, feeling of love flowing through you like a river into your heart and into your throat, through your face and the top of your head, out your arms, through your fingers, to your beloved. It fills up, the river fills you, until it stops, you're filled. And when you're filled with love, that's all that you care about, that's all that you see, that's all that you feel. Then you become love. Soon a tingling starts. All over your body. Everybody experiences it slightly differently. But that stationary love becomes bliss, a kind of ecstasy. And there's nothing else in the world except that ecstasy. And you are that. That can last for minutes, hours or days. It's God's love, not yours. But it is yours too. But even that has nothing to do with you. Even the bliss has nothing to do with you. The ecstasy has nothing to do with you, even though you identify with them and they are yours. Not really. But the pouring of love and the ecstasy purify you, so to speak, even though there is no such purification process because you don't even exist. It appears that way. The dream clarifies. Let the bliss do its work. Even though it doesn't exist and you don't exist, it appears to exist. Just like you appear to exist to yourself. Until you sleep and all the appearances go away. And that's your true nature. You know, so many people get into Advaita. Because it talks about the world being an illusion. That it doesn't exist. It's not real. And so many people want to run from the world. Robert ran from the world. And came to the conclusion at age 11 that the world didn't exist because it's too horrible a place to be real. And 3 years later, he had his awakening experience, but his first decision was to run, get away inside from that world. And then a lot of people, once they run inside and look for the I Am, begin to experience love. Maybe for the first time in 10, 20, 30 years. And it attracts them. And the love gets bigger and bigger, more powerful. Burning, yearning. Purifying. An object is sent by God for you to love. An object is sent by God for you to love. Whether it be a dog or a cat, a child, a guru, a lover. And you love that person, that animal. With all your heart and all your soul, with all your yearning. Then one day you realize that all the love you're feeling is you. That love is you. It's not there because of the object. The dog or the cat, although it may appear to be a trigger. That love is you. You're creating it by being still and fixating on the object. One-pointed, your meditation, the beloved. And the love flowing is your love. And you see your love itself. This is the quick and painful method. All kinds of emotions come out. You become fully human, fully involved in the world, or some things in the world. There's a burning and a yearning. then one day spontaneously. You realize all of this is your own creation. It has nothing to do with you. It's your show. Your circus. Your play of consciousness. So many people object to this method, the way I teach it, of loving the I am, because they want to escape and be beyond the world. How many comments I've gotten on the blog, people complaining that this is not the way, this is not true, this is not what Nisargadatta said, this is not what Ranjit said, this is not what not Krishna said, etc., etc., etc. They so desperately run from feelings, because once they get into the feelings, all kinds of ugliness also comes up at the same time. And they get into Advaita to make it all illusion, to go away. But when you make the bad stuff an illusion, you make the good stuff an illusion also. And then there's no feeling whatsoever. You become dead. You be dead. And then when that first hint of love comes, you become alive. It's the name of one of Muktananda's books. I have come alive. From a position beyond consciousness, I come into consciousness like a dream, and I'm aware that I am alive. The Absolute has become alive, and I am. I finally am once again. I am. And you begin to exult in all of the feelings of existence. And you say yes to life, like an existentialist. But somewhere along the way, something spontaneously arises in you, the knowledge that you are witnessing all of this. And even this witnessing takes place in consciousness. But what about the witness? And you know somehow that you as witness is beyond this world altogether, beyond consciousness, beyond awareness. All of this consciousness and all this awareness is really just knowledge, concepts. All of existence is only a concept, an empty dream. But in order to discover this, you have to be alive in that dream. I posted a post this morning talking about the relationship between the I Am and the Absolute, by quoting from Nisargadatta and from Ranjit. Ranjit Maharaj was Nisargadatta's Dharma brother. They both had the same teacher for 30 years. I mean, they both met him in the 30s, the teacher. Nisargadatta was awakened in 39 and began teaching, I think, in the middle 60s. He wrote that first book, Self-Knowledge and Self-Realization, in 1961. But Ranjit didn't start teaching until 1984. He considered Nisargadatta his teacher. after both of their teachers died in 1939. Ranjit has a different flavor from Nisargadatta. Nisargadatta is a poet with a hammer. Ranjit is a little more dry, but more discursive, more talky. This is what Ranjit stated in response to the question, "When I contemplate my real nature, the I am, a feeling of love without cause pervades me. Is this feeling correct, or is it still an illusion?" And Ranjit responds, "It is the bliss of the self. You feel the presence of I am. You forget everything, the concepts and illusion. It is a non-conditioned state. The bliss appears when you forget the object, but in the bliss there's still a little touch of the self. After all, it's still a concept. When you are tired of the outside world, you want to be alone, to be in yourself. It is the experience of a higher state, but still of the mind. The self has no pleasure or displeasure. It is without the eye sense. The complete forgetfulness of illusion means that nothing is, nothing exists. It is still there, but for you it has no reality anymore. That is what is called realization or self-knowledge. It is the realization of self without self." It is still there, but for you it has no reality anymore. All that exists, all that you see, the objects of your perception, all that is due to reality. And by reality he means the same thing as Nisargadatta means by the word absolute, which is the unmanifest state, the state that is invisible, that you can't see yourself. What you can see is your manifestation, consciousness, and the I am. In that reality, there is ignorance and knowledge do not exist. They are not. So what expression can you give to them? When you give them expression, that means there is something experienced. As soon as you feel the least existence, it is still ignorance, and you are away from yourself. You may feel love, and that is okay, but after all, it's still a state, and a state is always conditioned. The non-conditioned is stateless. It is the experience of the non-existence of illusion. This is very subtle. And when both ignorance and knowledge don't remain, it is difficult to understand, but if you really inquire, you will get to that stateless state. It is and always has been there, but you don't know it. That's the problem. There's not a single point where reality is not, or where the absolute is not. You experience existence through objects, but all of that is nothing. It, the absolute, is omniscient, but you cannot see it. Why? Because you are the reality itself. So how can you see yourself? To see your face, you need a mirror. You can see this as a more detached attitude than you find in Pradeep's Nisargadatta Gita or Nisargadatta's own book, Self-Knowledge and Self-Realization. However, this is more along the lines of what Robert taught. A place beyond bliss and ecstasy, completely self-contained, wanting nothing. And as Robert pointed, peace beyond understanding. Ranjit continues, if you understand that you are not the body, your consciousness becomes universal. All limitation disappears. If you break the vase, the space contained in the vase becomes as big as the space of the room. And if you break down the walls of the house, it becomes vast cosmic space. It is all together as one. In the same way, if consciousness of the ego is broken, then you become universal consciousness, the all. But here you must understand this consciousness is also an illusion or ignorance. In effect, ignorance is the source of consciousness or knowledge. This is exactly my experience. It is all together as one. That was my experience of unity. Disappearing of the sense of I meant that there was no longer a thou. There was only oneness. And objects appeared to be like holographic images in my emptiness, in my space. They weren't real. I just laughed and laughed. They were just concepts, just ideas, something created by the mind. But here you must understand that this consciousness is also illusion or ignorance. And he's identifying illusion with ignorance. In effect, ignorance is the source of consciousness or knowledge, because knowledge itself is also of consciousness, which is ignorance, illusion. Consciousness itself is illusion. The whole kit and caboodle is unreal. Everything is one, and the one is not real. Ranjit isn't nearly as poetic as Nisargadatta, but this is what I see. States come to me and they go. I am not touched. All the world comes to me and I am not touched. I know not what I am, only that the drama is not me, even though I can choose to be in and even identify with the drama. My fundamental knowledge, which is experienced within the I am itself, or knowledge, which is also ignorance, they're identical. My fundamental knowledge, which is experienced within the I am, is that I am not this way at all. I am not part of this. I am beyond it entirely, in an entirely different dimension, or the unmanifest. The unborn. Silence. Nisargadatta stated his understanding of the entirety of the I am in a nutshell. Before beingness was there, look at that state. That Maya is so powerful that it gets you completely wrapped up in it. I am means I am. I love to be. It has no identity except love. That knowledge of I am is the greatest foe and the greatest friend. Although it may be your greatest enemy, if you propitiate it properly, it will turn around and lead you to the highest state. Now, although I teach you to locate and love the I am, including the use of objects within the I am, such as a lover or a guru or a cat or a dog or a child. Within consciousness, the objects within the I am or within consciousness, in order to kindle the fires of love, you have to keep in mind that the I am is only the gate. It is not the entirety of the unfolding of your spiritual process.